Christ's name, amen. Well, after 2 weeks in hell, I'm ready for a change of biblical scenery. I don't know about you all. I called my mom this past week just to check on her, and she says, "Well, Dave, what have you been preaching lately?" And I said, "Well, I'm in a series. It's going to end this week on Mother's Day, and it's on the afterlife, on heaven and hell." And she said, "You better not preach hell on Mother's Day." I said, "No, ma'am, I will not, I promise." Knowing the truth about the afterlife is important, but I am so grateful hell isn't God's last word on eternity. There is heaven. And that's how we want to close this series today. 20 years ago, my family and I were vacationing in Florida, and my wife came up to me, and she had this huge grin on her face, and she said, "David, I know I should wait till we get home, but I just can't hold it in any longer. I've got to share something with you." And I began to hyperventilate, because those are the exact same words she used three previous times to tell me she was pregnant. And she says, "No, we're not going to have a baby. Although that sounds appealing. But no. What I want to surprise you with is I am sending you to Green Bay, Wisconsin, where you will attend the first Packers game in Lambeau Field this year. The first game of the season." Well, you've got to understand, this has been a lifelong dream. I wanted to do this, and this wonderful, beautiful woman's given me this gift, and I get so excited. I can't wait till September to come, and so I've got all this anticipation, and I start planning my trip 2 months in advance, and, you know, like, what am I going to wear? You know, am I going to paint my face green or gold? What size cheese head am I going to buy? All of these things. It was wonderful, and the trip met every expectation and more. It was wonderful. Now, you know how I felt. Most of us know that kind of anticipation. If it's not for a sports venue, it's a trip to an exotic land, it's a dream vacation, it's a special event. We get excited about what's up ahead. And we're in a better mood when we have something to look forward to. We tend to handle the difficulties of life a little better because we've got something planned that's going to be wonderful. Now, the problem is we don't always have something planned. There's not always something to look forward to, a nice getaway or a vacation. So sometimes we fall into a rut. And our attitude isn't always that positive. Trials aren't always patiently handled. We're not always as cheerful as we could be. Sometimes life feels empty and we're just going through the motions. So for us to make it through this life with a little bounce in our step, with some positive outlook and expectations, we need something to keep us going, something to look forward to. We need what Peter calls in his first letter, a living hope. A hope that will never perish or fade away or spoil. And heaven is that hope. So this morning I'd like to share with you 10 reasons why I think heaven is going to be amazing. And these are my 10, and I could have made a list of 30 or 40, and I'd be honest with you, I could spend an hour on each one, but we're going to be brief. So let me give you my list, and you can have your own list as you study the Word of God and as you look at heaven. Number one, we're going to have a new body. 1 John 3 says, "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." Just as Jesus was given a new resurrection body, we shall receive one as well. Jesus did some remarkable things after He rose from the dead, including traveling anywhere at will, despite closed doors and other obstacles. in our glorified bodies, I believe that we will have the ability to travel throughout God's universe and view His creation. Now, I can't prove that, but I think it's going to happen. Heaven has doors, 12 gates, so you can go in and out. There's over 100 billion galaxies, each containing 50 to 100 billion stars and planets. If we didn't get to see Him, why would He make such a vast universe? And I think we will be able to see them. They were all created for His glory and for our eternal enjoyment. The multitude that John saw in heaven in the book of Revelation included people from every tribe and nationality on earth, which suggests in these new bodies we're going to retain our racial and ethnic identities as well as our personal identities. And let's be honest, living in this shell, it's not so great. Our earthly body gets tired, feels pain, gets sick, and with age, it moves slower, it sags. Our eyes dim, our ears dull, things start to fall out. Most people aren't happy with their bodies anyway. Billions are spent every year trying to cover up, make up, lift up, correct perceived flaws. In heaven, we won't do that because we get a new body, a better one, an eternal one. Many years ago when I was young, I began planning for my new body just in case I got a choice. 6'4", muscular build, full head of hair. And now that I'm older, I realize that in my immaturity, I misinterpreted those verses. Our new heavenly bodies will be perfect. And now I understand that means everyone will be bald. Hair is an imperfection. In eternity, you're going to look like Michael Jordan and Bruce Willis and Steve Harvey and me. Aren't you excited? A second reason heaven is going to be amazing is that we will view God's throne. The book of Revelation mentions God's throne 39 times. And the reason it does so, it's the focal point of heaven because that's where God is. He's sitting on His throne. John wrote, "The one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby." Jasper is an opaque quartz of differing colors, but especially green. The red ruby may remind us of God the Redeemer who sent His Son to die on the cross, who shed His blood so that our sins could be forgiven, so that we could be in heaven for all eternity. By the way, these were also the first and the last stones on the breastplate of the high priest, perhaps representing God's love for Israel. But John continues, "A rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder." If you recall, when God descended to Mount Sinai to deliver the Old Testament law to Moses, thunder and lightning accompanied Him. Now, John is trying to describe the indescribable. He's doing the best way he can. And he is portraying the presence of God as filled with thunder and lightning, blinding light, a dazzling array of colors and rainbows. I mean, this is incredible. But he's not done yet. Also, in front of the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. The focal point of heaven is God's throne, which emanates flashing and sparkling light, and beneath it is this crystal clear, brilliant sea. smooth as glass. It's described as sapphire in one passage because of the color reflecting off it. And it's described as clear in this passage because it picks up the transparent color that sparkles from God's throne. I mean, this is a beautiful sight. And it all reflects the splendor and the majesty and the glory of God for all eternity. Number three, heaven's going to be amazing because we're going to eat great food. Okay? Now, most of us enjoy eating. Probably a little too much. And don't deny it. I see you at Outback and Cheddar's. I see you sitting there at the table eating slow while I'm waiting for my table, which you have taken. But that's okay. We love to eat. And that's good news. For in heaven, we will feast. And I know it's going to be better than anything we have here on earth. Jesus said, I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. In heaven, we will eat for enjoyment, not for sustenance, not to stay alive because we're going to be alive forever. John continues, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. The Greek word translated healing is where we get our English word therapeutic. The fruit and the leaves of the tree of life promote the enrichment of life. They are for the pure joy of eating. The water of life is for the sheer joy of drinking. Food won't be needed in heaven, but it will be enjoyed. And the banquet table will be full. And if it's really heaven, there will be chocolate. And in our perfect bodies, we won't gain weight. I'm ready to go now. All right. Fourth reason why heaven is going to be amazing is that we will talk with Bible characters. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And again, here's a reference to eating, a marriage supper for the Lamb and his bride, for Jesus and for the church will be held in heaven. And the guests will include all of God's saints. For years, we've heard their stories. We've read about them. We've even imagined what they were like. But when we get to heaven, we're going to meet these heroes of faith and spend time with them. And I think we're going to know them instantly. I don't think we'll need name tags. I think you'll know. You'll see King David over there. And you'll walk over and you say, hey, what was it like to fight Goliath? And you'll be able to walk up to Noah and say, what did it really smell like on the ark? You know, was it bad? We'll go to Jonah and ask him to describe life in the belly of a giant fish. And we'll walk over to Mary. And we'll ask, what was Jesus like when he was just a little boy? Did he have lots of friends? Did he have certain games or certain songs that he liked? What was he like growing up? We're going to have all these people around us for all eternity. Fifth reason why heaven's amazing. We will all possess responsibilities in heaven. Now, I'm asked this question a lot. This is one of the most common questions. What are we going to do in heaven? I mean, it's going to be, you know, will I be doing something or I'm just going to walk around? On earth, every Christian is given responsibilities within Christ's church. Each of us has received at least one spiritual gift, some more, from God, and it is to be used for the good of his people and the good of his church. That's the only place it can be used. And the scriptures seem to indicate that God will operate his heavenly kingdom in much the same way. He's going to delegate its operation to his people. So forever, I think there's going to be this sphere of responsibility and authority. Now, I don't know what each of our specific duties will be, but I think it involves possessing authority, and it seems to be directly related to the use of our spiritual gifts on earth. The more faithful you are in this life through service to God and others by use of your spiritual gift, the more responsibility that you will receive in the life to come. Somehow, our activities in heaven are proportionate to our faithfulness in this life. And I think that's our reward. I don't think it's going to be you get a crown, or you get stars in your crown, or you get a bigger mansion because you worked harder on earth or more faithful. I don't think that's it. I think it has to do with responsibilities. We're going to be doing things in heaven. You're just not going to sit on a cloud playing a harp for eternity. You're just not going to stroll through the streets and look around. I don't think you'll be picking flowers in a celestial garden all the time. We will be busier than we've ever been, yet we're going to do perfect work. And it's going to bring joy to us. And we'll never grow tired. We'll never grow bored. If that's for me, tell them I'm busy. Okay. We'll never grow tired. We'll never grow bored. And you know what? We'll never grow jealous, because we'll have our responsibilities that God has given us. Okay. How we live here dictates what we'll do in heaven. That's what I think. Number six, we're going to live in a beautiful city. When the Apostle John witnessed this vision of New Jerusalem, he described the city as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I think that's a great analogy, because when a bride walks down the aisle on her wedding day, everyone stands and they look at her in awe. She prepares her appearance with great detail. She is flawless in her beauty on that day. And that's how the Apostle John describes the New Jerusalem, the capital city of heaven, if you will. We're going to gasp in amazement at its beauty. It will literally take our breath away. The heavenly city is surrounded by a high wall, not because it's needed, not because we have enemies up there, but the high wall symbolizes security and protection for eternity. The wall foundation is made of 12 precious stones. John says the city is made of pure, transparent gold and jasper. There's no such thing as transparent gold on earth. But John describes a city made of gold and precious stones you can see through. 12 gates, again, symbolic of the access and openness of heaven, which is one of the reasons why I think we'll go in and out at will if we choose to see the universe, to see what God has made. These gates are constructed of 12 large pearls. I mean, the beauty that we will behold in heaven is unimaginable, and we're going to view it all the time since the lights never go out in heaven. But since we're trying to imagine the unimaginable, think about what heaven must look like with the undiminished glory of God continuously illuminating all the tiers of this crystal clear, solid, yet somehow transparent city. His glory will be reflected and refracted off every corner of New Jerusalem. In other words, everywhere you go in heaven, you will be totally engulfed by God's glory. All that was lost to us in our first home because of sin will be returned to us 100-fold in our final home. Another reason heaven will be amazing is because of the no mores. When I was about to graduate college, I called my last 7 days the week of no mores. I walked off the baseball diamond after our last game, and I said, no more practice. I walked out of my last exam. I said, no more tests. I walked out of the cafeteria after my last meal and said, no more fake food. You know, it was a wonderful week of no mores. And when you and I get to heaven, there is going to be some awesome no mores. And those no mores should inspire us right now and should give us a living hope right now and something to anticipate. The scriptures say, never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. No more stress. No more tears. No more pain. No more death. No more terrorists. No more school shootings. No more ridiculous gas prices. No more atheists telling us how stupid we are. No more disease. No more hospitals. No more tiny caskets. No more politics to split us. No more politicians. Maybe a couple could slip in there, I guess. Think of the things that really get you down in life. And chances are they are no more when you get to heaven. The eighth reason heaven is going to be amazing, at least to me, is because it will be the last time we fall. If you recall, Paul said in Romans, hey, I don't understand me. I want to do what is right, but I just don't do it. And when I try not to do wrong, I do it anyway. You ever feel like Paul? I mean, I do. I struggle with temptation. I find myself doing things I don't want to do and not doing the things I should be doing and want to do. And this struggle that we all have with temptation is another reason why heaven is going to be amazing. Because in heaven, I'm going to fall for the last time. It's not going to be a fall from grace, and it's not going to be a fall into failure, and it's not going to be a fall into sin, because I'm never going to do that again. I'm never going to feel guilt of letting God down anymore. For the last time I fall, and the last time you fall, will be when we fall to our knees before Jesus Christ. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's us. Number nine, we will take part in awesome worship. During his vision of heaven, this is what John wrote. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. The tabernacle in the Old Testament served about the same purpose as the church building does today. It's the place where we would go to worship God. And one reason we gather is to be reminded of God. Satan tries to make us forget God the moment we walk out those doors. And all week long, we are engaged in spiritual warfare with an enemy who wants to blot out God from our thoughts. But you know, in heaven, there's no tabernacle, there's no temple, there are no church buildings, no place we need to go to be reminded of God. For when we are in heaven, we are surrounded by and engulfed in God's presence all the time. Some think heaven is going to be like church all day long, forever. Now, you should be excited if that is true, but I don't think it will be. I think we're going to be doing things in heaven. Worship was never meant to be an exercise held in a building once a week. In fact, Paul told us, here's the essence of worship. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. True worship is in every area of our life. We are reflecting the glory of God. The issue isn't whether you're in church in heaven. And I think there will be times of corporate worship where we all the saints come together with all the angels in heaven and we will worship God. I think that will be a part of our time there, but it won't be the whole time there. The issue is not whether you're not